Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day Cephalon Collective and welcome to episode 123 of Cephalon Squared. This is going to be a big one today. I'm Cephalon Greg, whatever my name is, and I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. How are you?
I am good. Good. It is indeed going to be a big episode. There is a lot to cover, lots of discussion things. We got our advance and beginner topic, and there's some really hefty stuff in the community call-out section. So it's going to be a big one.
Indeed, and the discussion on its own is pretty big. So buckle up, put your big kid pants on if you want. Or not.
Strap in.
You don't have to. I'm not telling you have to wear pants.
Sit down, strap in, and get ready for this one hell of a roller coaster episode.
Ooh, ooh. Anyway, we better start trucking on through, eh? Let's talk about the weather. Weather rambles.
All right, well, the weather in Ipswich is trash, as always. it's currently 32 degrees Celsius with a 30% humidity. Last week, you know, we actually had a couple of nice days last week where it only hit, like, 28, the nights were, like, 16, 15. But with this you know, over 30 degrees bullshit, it's looking at, like, 20 degrees still at midnight.
Yes. And 32 degrees is, of course, 90 degrees Fahrenheit, so it's quite warm up there in the northern states, sucked in. Whereas down here in Melbourne, it's quite a comfortable 28 degrees Celsius, which is 83 degrees Fahrenheit, at 46% humidity. So it is a bit, it's verging on humid. It's not quite humid, but, you know.
It's getting there.
Yeah, it did rain today, so it might even be more humid than that now.
Ooh.
I don't know. But it's just annoying. But yeah, it was stinking hot last week down here in Melbourne. I think it got to 36, 37. I'm over it. Go away,
and we
summer.
We haven't even hit summer yet.
Exactly. And of course, there's plenty of people out there going, what the hell are you talking about? Summer's the best time of year. I love going out in summer and going swimming and stuff. Yeah, nah, it's okay to be wrong. I do love going to the beach, though, and going swimming. But when you got kids, it's just so hard. It's such a chore.
Now, are you saying that Australian summer is good? Because then you're definitely wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Summer's good when you don't have responsibilities.
Summer's good when you have aircon.
Well, okay, yeah, that's true. If I don't have to leave the house, I love summer because I've got aircon. As soon as you leave the house and you got kids, you got to put them in clothes and make sure they've got water and stuff. Because apparently they need water to survive in the heat. Can't just lock them in cars either.
Oh, damn.
Damn it. Anyway, we're just rambling about the weather. I do like the heat, but only on my terms. Greg terms. All right, moving right along, trucking along. What'd you get up to in video games this week in Warframe?
Warframe and Genshin. They're the two games that I am still, you know, highly addicted to. Of course, Warframe. I mean, we've got a podcast about it. Have to be addicted to that one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a pretty good week on both sides of those. You know, in Genshin Impact, we got the big event finally dropping. And we're just waiting on the third part of that event to start up within the next couple of hours. So, woohoo, things to do. As far as Warframe goes, well, PC got a massive update this week, and I think we can all tell what the discussion's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a bit of a test run of that and a few other things in there to play around with some of the new items available. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We played around two nights in a row.
We did.
Friday
one
and
we
Saturday
streamed,
night,
one we didn't.
We jumped into the Arcana.
Yes.
So, it was. And I even jumped onto my PS4 a couple of times this week.
Whoa.
To do some annoying things that really need to be done on my own because I'm a little bit behind some of the other guys in the clan. So, if you think I've been playing and ignoring you guys. I haven't been. I've just been, well, I kind of have, but I've been doing it deliberately to try and just smash through the stuff that I need to do that's probably not going to be very fun for the rest of you. And I spent 3 hours or something grinding, standing, and but I think I might have rekindled the flame.
Ooh, the flame's rekindled.
Mm-hmm. I think I did. But apart from that, I've been playing Oculus Quest stuff. It's been good.
Nice.
Haven't touched any mobile games or anything else this week.
What?
Yep. I've been different.
It's a new Greg.
Maybe. All right. So, as we have a lot to talk about, and there's actually a fair bit in the news as well, we may as well just continuing. What do you think?
Continuing. I think it's a good idea. So,
news.
Breaking news. PlayStation players may have noticed a massive update earlier this week. Well, that's because there was a texture update that resulted in about 2 gigabytes shaved off of the overall size. So, annoying, but a good thing.
Indeed. Indeed. Especially those that don't have good freaking internet connections and those downloads take 50 bajillion years. But I always leave my PlayStation in rest mode, so it just downloads them overnight. No complaints for me.
Yay. No complaints for Greggles.
Anyway, next up, there's a new winter collection in the official Warframe store. That is if it's winter where you are, because it's certainly not where we are. There's a pair of dacks, a beanie, and a mug. If you don't know what dacks are, that's pants. Comfy pants.
Aussie slang.
Trainers, whatever you want to call it. They're just a pair of dacks. Put them on.
Yeah, yeah. Tracksuit pants.
Get them on your bottom half. Yeah, they are. Trackies. Tracky dacks.
Tracky dacks.
All right, next up.
Deimos Arcana released this week on PC. No way. Enough said.
No way. Maybe we should talk about it.
Whoa, I think maybe we should.
There is a new Prime Gaming giveaway, apparently, via Prime Operator Accessories. If you're into that kind of stuff and you're a Prime Gaming subscriber, which used to be Twitch Prime or Amazon Gaming or whatever the hell, it's had so many stupid names. Anyway, if you're one of those people, head on over and grab your loot because you don't want to miss out. It's free.
Yeah.
Did you end up getting it?
No. I clicked the claim thing and it still hasn't come through yet, so I don't know what's going on.
Doesn't like you. That's what it is.
No, definitely doesn't. And just as we expected, it's now time for the Nintendo Switch anniversary, celebrating a youthful 2 years. Switch Tenno can now grab free stuff in-game right now, so go do it. Do the thing. Right now. Do it. Instant. All go. Right. Yep.
You were very quick at that. Good job.
Well done.
Right. The Gara Deluxe Collection is out now on PC alongside Deimos Arcana. So if you love your Gara and you want to get this new collection, you can if you're on PC. Otherwise, you have to wait.
Just make sure you change the colours.
Yeah, because the colours are pants. Not Dax, pants.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that is all of the Warframe news, and let's go into a little bit of us news. And not only are we official Warframe creators, but we got our in-game accolades this week, so we are big boys, yay! 2.5 years, roughly, in the making of this, and we've done it, man, we've done it, we've gone big! Feels so good.
Big boys. It does. So the old system, unless you were a Twitch streamer or a YouTuber, you couldn't get the creator accolade or the partner accolade in-game. So this new system does make it better for all those people out there that put a lot of effort into Warframe. And now they're getting something back. And I know Debbie Sheen actually recently was recognized as a Warframe creator as well. So, I believe so, because I think she's getting a glyph in-game, so she must be. And her glyph is freaking amazing.
Awesome.
So, yay! And if you didn't know, Debbie Sheen is the very wonderful person who did our logo / glyph.
Yeah.
It's freaking amazing.
Freaking amazing. That's awesome.
Indeed, indeed. More love for the creator train? I don't know where I was going with that.
More love for the creators. Woo!
There you go. That'll do. All right, so that's the news this week. We did really smash through it quick because we're friggin' awesome.
That we friggin' are.
All right. Now, Lucas, we're going to talk about Deimos Arcana.
Are we, though?
Yes. All right, so on to our discussion this week. We are, of course, talking about Deimos Arcana, because how could we talk about anything else? I'm very surprised by it. I was expecting, to be honest, I know we knew what was coming, but I really didn't expect it to be a big update. I don't know why I was thinking it wasn't going to be a big update.
I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same boat. Like, we saw everything that was coming, but, you know, we kind of looked at everything that was coming as, like,
just little add-ons?
Individual small... Small individual add-ons. When realistically, it's not. It's freaking huge. There's lots there. You know, we've gone over this, like, over the last couple of weeks, like, you know, a good 2-3 times already. And I think now that it's actually here, we finally, you know, get an actual image of just how big of an update this was going to be. And it's hefty.
It is. I mean, just all of the things that are in it are... there's a lot. And some of the things are far more impressive than I expected them to be. Some of the things we haven't had a chance yet to test, because it's only been out for a day. So we got to test maybe... I think the technical term is some of it.
A little bit.
I was going to say, maybe we've played about half, but no, we definitely haven't done
half. Nowhere near half.
So some of it is the amount we've done. But we have done enough to be able to talk about everything. And, of course, we've got all the notes here to give us a little bit more information into some of that stuff that we don't. So I guess we'll just crack on into it. If you are a console player, there is a lot to look forward to here. There's a few quality of life changes that just make things so much better. Would you like to start, Lucas?
Okie dokie. So, of course, we've got 3 new ISO vaults, 4 new Entrati vault ruins with new activities to do underground, protect the juggernaut, collecting samples, seal fishes. Frick.
So, we knew there was new stuff to do, and we didn't know there were new vaults, but, yeah, new activities to do as part of the vaults is also really, really welcome, because the vaults were just exactly the same, and now they're not going to be, and I like that.
Yeah. So, what was that before? We had, what, three ISO vaults?
Yep.
And now we got 3 new ones, so there's 6 ISO vaults and 4 new Entrati vaults, so that's 10 vaults in total.
Well, we don't exactly know whether the Entrati Vault ruins are new vaults. They might just be locations. I don't know. The wording is unclear. It might be 10 total vaults. It might just be 6 total vaults with 4 new vault ruins, whatever the hell they are. So we'll get back to you on that once we've discovered more of what that is. But these new bounties, anyway. Collecting samples, it's not just killing things and collecting the little doozy watsits that it drops. You've got to kill something, it drops something, and then you pick it up and you throw it back at them, and that's how you collect samples. Sealing fishes?
Yeah.
It just reminds me of bad experiences on Fortuna.
Just Fortuna. What is it? Mysterious mist wafting through the area, driving the creatures within mad, negate the effects of the mist with the emitter unit, and seal the mist fishes before the creatures attempt to open them. Okay, that's... Yeah, no, it pretty much just sounds like the Fortuna. Old Valis ones.
It does, but when it says the emitter unit, what's it talking about? That's what I want to know. Is it just something that you get as part of doing that bounty, or is it actually referring to your tool that you use on your, the multi-tool or whatever it's called, that you use on your railjack? Because if it is, that's not so bad. Mm. That would be interesting. Yeah, give it another maybe. Use, but I don't think it is. But we'll find out. So, you know, that could be interesting. Could be fun for new isolation vaults. Sounds fun. Do you like fun things, Lucas?
Yeah, I do like fun things. I also like the idea of Deimos delicacies, which is basically protecting a friendly polyp hog juggernaut.
It's a hungry juggernaut.
And I've seen the juggernaut, and it's huge.
Is it?
It's freaking massive.
So you've seen that one.
I have seen that one. I actually watched the Kiwi was streaming today, and he actually was in the middle of doing that one. So, yeah, I've seen that one. That one, the juggernaut is huge, and that one actually looks like a lot of fun.
Nice. Well, that's good. I like it when things are fun and look good.
Yeah, fun things are good.
Next up is Bone Widow. So we knew Bone Widow was coming, but now we know all four of her abilities. I think we might have known them anyway. Meat Hook is the first one. Skewer and hold a target. Use it again to throw them and damage them and anyone near them. Shield Maiden, raise the shield to block damage. Duh. Firing Line, sweep surrounding enemies into the line of fire with a force beam. So you sack them in. And the last one, Exultant Iron Bride, summon a devastating Exalted Blade. So yes, we did know all of those. And you get those parts from Lloyd for Necrolade standing. Jeez, did you think? Of course you do. There's a new weapon, Morgra, it's called, which is a weird name. It sounds a little bit like Orgra. Orgra knows.
Orgra knows.
Yeah. And that's the double-barreled shotgun massive gun thing with mortar.
Yeah, the kind of grenade launcher one that they showed off in the last dev stream.
Fun. Kablamos!
Yes. Interesting thing about Firing Line is it actually sweeps enemies that can potentially be standing behind as well. So it actually sends out like two beams of light that pick up enemies and just drag them right in front of you.
Fully sick.
So it's pretty damn cool. I like that ability. Meat Hook is a little bit... A little bit on the side, but everything else is pretty damn cool.
No, I want to see Meat Hook before I call it but I'm pretty sure it's just going to be the only problem, of course, with a new thing to build is you need resources. And, of course, you don't just need standard resources. You need freaking built bloody gems and stuff.
And also the actual damaged parts, of course, as well. So yes.
Get ready to farm.
Which, if you're listening to this early enough, every single one of the...
streams?
Every single one of the streams this coming week will actually be awarding one of the pieces each.
Yep. So link up your Twitch account.
You get all the pieces. Yeah, and watch DE streams throughout the week to get yourself the Necromech pieces.
Indubitably.
Do the thing. Win the prize.
Right, next up.
Okay, four new Necromech mods. We got flow efficiency, hover efficiency, slide efficiency, all the efficiency, efficiency.
That's not necessarily what they're called. No. But that's what they do. I just thought it'd be easier to talk about that.
Necromech flow gives 150% energy maximum. Necromech efficiency gives plus 60% engine efficiency, so that's for your hovering and your boosters. Necromech drift gives you plus 150% hover efficiency, that's pretty damn awesome. And Necromech friction gives you plus 60% slide efficiency, so you can slip and slide all around.
So does that mean you now have... Were there 12 and now there's 16, or was there 8 and now there's 12 mods?
There's a lot.
Yeah. So it's good, because there used to be only one mod for each available slot on the damn Necromech, so now there's more. So now you're forced into making choices, which is good.
Choices are good, yeah. And these Necromech mods are rewards from the new Isolation Vault bounties or from Lloyd for the Necroloid standing.
Indeed. Now we get up to some of the more exciting stuff that we did get a chance to play around with. There are new kick guns, infested kick guns. These can be primary or secondary, depending on the grips that you choose. So there's two grips, one that makes it secondary, one that makes it primary. Duh. There's two chambers, which we'll talk about.
Four chambers. Chambers, yeah.
Two chambers, which we'll talk about in a sec, and four loaders. So two of the loaders... One's small and gives you more crit chance and status chance, and one's large and gives you both crit chance and status chance. Why would you go the small? There must be another benefit that
isn't
there. Maybe it's got faster reload.
Reload speed, yeah.
And then there's a big capacity one with slower reload and a massive capacity one with a very long reload. So it depends on what you want to go with. But really, where it comes down to... are the two chambers. So, Lucas, would you like to read out the first one? Because you played with this one.
I did, yes. Vermisplicer. This one is pretty damn cool. The primary fire type is a long-range proboscis, attaches to a target and then splits off to attack up to five more enemies. So basically you shoot out a tentacle and it chain tentacles enemies, which is really, really freaking awesome. The secondary fire is three short-range proboscises fiercely latch onto targets and maul them. So basically you shoot out a... kind of like a lava. You basically shoot a small version of Nidus' lava at enemies. Nice.
What was that word again?
Proboscis. I butchered that one drastically, but oh well, shit happens.
Anyway, next one is called the Spore Lacer, and this is the one that I fiddled around with. The primary launches spore sacs that explode with toxic mist on each bounce, and it has an automatic trigger. The secondary fires spore sacs that rupture into three smaller toxic projectiles on impact with a semi-automatic trigger. What was interesting about the Spore Lacer that I didn't know until I started using it, it's a shotgun, and it's an automatic shotgun. And yes, it just fires these spore sacs in all sorts of directions, and they do bounce, and they create all sorts of mist. And the other good thing about it... Nope, that's a different weapon. It's good.
It's good.
I was thinking of something else that we will talk about later.
Yeah, so we both went with the primary versions of these. And as Greg said, his was a... used the shotgun mods. So basically has an infested shotgun kit gun, which is really, really freaking awesome. The Vermisplicer, which kind of looks like the cricket from Men in Black, it's technically a beam weapon, technically, but you're shooting physical tentacles.
Proboscises.
It's kind of weird. It's
such a hard word to say, isn't it?
It is a hard one. Anyway,
yeah, so they're actually really worth being excited about. We haven't had a chance because, of course, being infested kit guns, you have to fully level them, then you have to frickin' guild them before you can do anything good with them. So I haven't had a chance. I got to fully level it the first time, but I haven't had a chance to fully level it the second time yet. And it was really good, even just with two or three mods on it, the Spore Lacer.
Yeah, especially because of the loaders that we both used. We both went with the same loader that was the Macroid.
The second one, yeah, the large loader.
Yeah, Macro Acroid.
It's to both CC and status chance, crit chance and status.
Which just on its base, without even having to gild the weapon, gives you a base 19% crit and a 19% status.
Exactly.
Which is phenomenal.
Totes ridic. So they're both really good weapons, and I'm looking forward to, once I've got some former in them, just to see how they go. So look forward to them. They're good.
Yes.
All right. Next bit.
New arcanes. We discussed them last week. Stats unchanged.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go over them again. They're exactly the same as what we discussed last week in the same detail. Yeah, yep. So we haven't had a chance to try them to see whether they're worthwhile. Of course, the Warframe arcanes come with Arcane Revive. Still don't think they're worth it, but we'll have to test them.
Yeah.
Where are we next? There is, of course, the new enemy, which is the Legs Monster, and it's got a new name, or it's got a name now. It's called the Mitosid or something. Mitosid, that word. I'm guessing it's got to be related to mitosis because it splits into two. But it's the Mitosid, because he's punk, I guess. I don't know. It will have its own set mods soonish that are very similar to the existing set mods for the other Deimos critters, but it hasn't been released in time. So, yeah. It will... aerial attacks... So, basically, the set bonus is that aerial attacks will execute a spin attack that deals 20% damage, repeating two times in succession. So, interesting.
That is kind of interesting.
You do like aerial attacks, Zephyr.
Yes. The rest of the stats on the set are basically what we already have. The carapace gives armor and health, Mitosid claws, slash and status chance, Mitosid viscera, slash and status chance. So yeah, it's pretty much what we already got.
Yeah. I'm guessing it was meant to be something else, because it says slash and status chance twice. Oh, wait, but one will be for Thingo and the other
one. One will be for Melee, the other one will be for Secondary.
Yeah,
Thingo or, and Thingo. Yeah, you know, one of them could be Primary even.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Next. Next, okay, now we have a new thing called Mend the Family. Yes, you can now turn in excess resources to Grandmother for tokens. So this is, you know, even more of a closer kind of system to the ticker system stuff back in Fortuna, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really, really good. So I went in there and was able, and without even trying to do anything on my PC account where I don't play a lot, I was able to get a bunch of additional tokens that I wouldn't have got otherwise. It's really, really useful. So thanks for adding that, DE. That's good.
Woo! Good things are good.
Indeed. Next up is another quick one. The Lloyd Sentinel skin is available along with this update. We knew it was coming. It looks okay. It looks like Lloyd, if that's what you want.
It exists.
It does.
Okay, now we also have a new Ireton sculpture that is available from the Necroloid standing. It is a pretty, pretty, pretty looking sculpture.
Very.
And I believe it actually requires a total of 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's cool. 1 amber and 4 cyans.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yes. And it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
I think it was Lycos or a couple of the guys in the Discord that were saying it's a new centerpiece Ireton sculpture, and it really is. It replaces all the others in beauty.
Yeah, I think King Louis needs it.
It's a new crown, is it?
Not a new crown.
Just next to it.
Yeah, I'll probably put it across from him just so he can always gaze upon its beauty.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Weirdo. All right, next up. These were unexpected. There are new mods for the Vulpifiler and the Predacite. So the first one, which is for the Vulpifiler, is called Mata Symbiosis. It drains and stores 20 health from corpses within 25 meters up to 20% of their master's health. It sacrifices itself to heal their master if they fall below 10% health. So basically, it just keeps up to 20% of your health stored within itself.
That's from pretty enemies cool.
That you kill. And then
that's
gives it back to awesome. You if you fall below 10% health. And being a Vulpifiler, it just turns back into a little, what do they call them?
Lava.
Lava. Yes, they turn into a little lava above your head and they come back. So it's sacrificing itself every once in a while once you get below 10% health to give you that 20% extra health. Could be a lifesaver, and then it's just going to come back.
Survivability for the win.
Exactly. Next up, there's the Predacite one, which is called Maggot Summoner. In combat, it will spit a maggot every 15 seconds. Not gross at all. Maggot latches onto the nearest enemy and provokes other enemies within 40 meters to attack them. It then explodes, dealing 400 viral damage within 10 meters. That's pretty interesting. That's
pretty damn cool.
Every 15 seconds, and it provokes. So that's cool.
That's really damn cool.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, very good mods. So if you're using a Vulpifiler, and let's face it, why you should be definitely using a Vulpifiler, and if you're not, why? What the hell's wrong with you? Mata Symbiosis, that one is actually a fantastic mod, so I would probably suggest getting your hands on that and definitely running it.
And interestingly, in the notes, under Predacite, it says Maggot Summoner, but in the image, it says Volatile Parasite. So, don't know what it's going to actually be called once it comes out. I'm guessing Volatile Parasite, because that's in the artwork. Anyway, next up.
Next up, Infested K-Drive. Grandmother has gotten her hands on some new Infested K-Drive pieces, and they can all be yours by completing each of her races out in the Cambium Drift. So once you've acquired the Ferrospine, Gristlebuck, Nodulite, and Steeper parts, visit your friend Rocky in Fortuna to build the Infested K-Drive.
So that's interesting. It's one of a couple of things that force you to go back to Fortuna to build stuff. So, of course, the kick guns make you go back to Rude Zood to build your guns, and this one makes you go back to Rocky. So, cool. Have you seen it? I haven't seen it
yet. I have not seen it. No, I've only acquired two of the four pieces so far. Another thing that's quite interesting about this is that apart from the default K drive that you're given after completing the opening quest in Fortuna, this could actually well be the easiest K drive to acquire, as it's not reputation based.
Yeah, and the freaking K drive reputation grind is a pain in the ass. Really, really, really is. All right, next up. There are new time indicators that have been added to the map, so when you hold down your map button and you see the whole map, you can now see how long it's going to be within that time frame, time period, whatever. And this has been added to all three open world maps, so that's a great little change. I like that.
Yeah, specifically, these actually now appear while you're in the hubs of the open world. So if you're in Fortuna, Cetus, or the Necrolisk hub, then you can actually view the times without having to actually enter the world.
Yes, okay, thank you, because that is, like, it was already in the world, wasn't it? So that is a valid point to make. Ha ha, Greg's tired.
Greg is tired. Sun's conservation. Yeah, there's more tasks and they are more rewarding. So we also now have higher quality conservation captures will now provide better rewards, as they do in the other free roam landscapes. Scoring a good capture will now provide two animal capture tags instead of one, and a perfect will award three. Sun tokens exchange has been reorganized based on player inventory statistics. Smaller offerings will require more commonly found creatures, and larger offerings with more tokens will require creatures that are harder to come by.
How it always damn well should have been. Thank you.
This is a good change, yes.
Definitely. That's the one thing that I just hated doing anything to do with Sun, because he required stupid things. Now they're less stupid. Thank you. Alrighty, what was up next? New conservation creatures and two new fishies have been added. So if you're into conservation, there's new creatures. They look really weird. One just looks like a ball sack hanging from a tree. That's what it looks like. And the other one, I don't even know what it looks like. It's just a poop monster or something with a mouth and legs. There you go. Poop monster! In addition, there are two new fishies, so go get some new fishies if that interests you.
Yeah. New fishies and new conservation animals. Okay, now let's get into some really, really good stuff. The weapons. lots of new infested weapons. So we got the Catabolist, the Proboscis, Mutalist Cernos, the Pulmonaris, the Arum Spinosa, and the Sporothrix. Words and words. Fantastic. Gotta love DE for their usage of words. So, of course, we knew that most of these weapons were coming. There was actually one really surprising weapon that I don't actually remember them mention anything about prior to the drop of this. So that was a kind of a happy find with that one. And of course, I'm referring to the Sporothrix.
Sporothrix.
Yeah, the Sporothrix. It's a long distance sniper rifle, which fires a razor-sharp, virus-soaked barb that continues to attack its host before violently erupting in a spore-laden mist. Scoped headshots will increase its lethality.
Yay!
That's pretty damn metal. That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, so we've kind of spoken about all these other weapons a lot over the last couple of weeks. I don't really think we need too much of a recap on them.
I will say, I've been using the Catabolist.
Yes, you have.
And it's friggin' amazing. Again, I haven't been able to fill it up with mods yet, because it needs some former before you can do that. But it's got big balls, as it is, and not just the two throbbing ones that are on the actual weapons. But it's also really tough. And the grenade, when you throw the ammo bladder is massive. Damage is huge. It's a lot of fun to use. Recommend.
Yes. And I'm just about finishing the Proboscis Cernos at the moment, so I will be able to give that a good test drive in the upcoming week. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, good thing is DE made it really easy for you to use by requiring you first to build a Cernos and then a Mutilus Cernos and now put that into this. So
easy. Yeah, it's totally easy to build. Thanks, DE.
Okay, and next up is one that I could have included with the others because it is really just another weapon, but it's a special weapon because it's in the Infested Arm Cannon. And it's called the Bubonico, and it rapid-fires toxic terror on its enemies, apparently. Rains down a triple volley of explosive disease bladders from a distance. Then you move in by the kit for the kill by unloading a multi-shot barrage of toxic barbs with the primary fire. So it sounds like it fires off some mortar-like substances, and the primary fire just goes pew, pew, pew as you want it to.
It sounds awesome. I'm excited.
Sounds pretty awesome. Yeah. Haven't had a chance to use it. Looks infested.
It does look infested. Yes.
Should get a doctor to check that out. The dangly bits are weird. I'm not going to say what they look like.
All right. Next up, there was also the Glaive Revisit. So there was many changes to this particular type of gameplay. So, yeah, many of these changes focus on enhancing the unique gameplay options that a Glaive can offer. Starting off with heavy attacks, aka the Glaive Detonation, which will now do more damage more consistently. So damage numbers have been increased and the area of effect falloff has been removed. Fantastic, meaning max damage no matter what part of the explosion hits an enemy. That is freaking awesome. And I did have a good chance to test this out on the stream last night, and it's noticeable. It's definitely noticeable. The hold throw mechanics now apply in equipped melee mode. They added the ability to wield a glaive alongside the one-handed secondary, of course. They also introduced a new system for throwing glaives that was quicker and more intuitive. The modern system for both ground and air throwing has been applied to pure melee mode, making glaives consistent no matter how they are used, and this is very good damn changes. In glaive and gun mode, players must use the melee key to detonate the glaive while in flight. With only the glaive in hand, the alt fire button is no longer reserved for your secondary weapon, which allows for added flexibility. Press alt fire for a heavy attack detonation or tap melee for a simple recall.
So, overall, it sounded to me last night that you really enjoyed the new changes.
I do!
Tell us about it.
Oh my god, it feels, I don't even really know how to explain it. It just feels more intuitive. You know, the melee attacks that they've actually kind of tied to the glaives now feel better. It's not like you let go of your glaive and it's out of your hands for like freaking 5 seconds and you gotta wait for it to come back and whatnot. No, it's very, if you're just doing the normal melee attacks, there are quite a few normal melee strikes thrown in. So it's not like how before is that you throw it and does like a full circle around you before returning to your hand for a close range melee attack. Yeah, the attacks just feel a lot better. Activating of the heavy attack in mid flight is so much easier now. Getting those strong heavy attacks off feels great. It just, everything about this is fantastic. I freaking love it. It's good.
Yeah, and there's lots of little changes that have been made to individual weapons as well to make it even better. So many changes. If you really want to see everything, you're going to have to go check out the patch notes.
Yes.
We'll have a link.
I do want to point out, though, was it the Zorsus? Is that the one that came out with the
Zorus?
Zorus is that was the one that came out with the
Demos. Yep.
Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Protea.
Yeah, the Protea one. Yeah. The damage output on that with the explodiness of its heavy attack. Holy damn. Holy damn. Because they have removed
Holy diver.
because they've removed the damage drop, like the damage drop off, everything dies.
Interesting. Sounds like you're excited by it.
It is freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting it on. Because I've always liked glaives, and now they sound better. And even Wooshy in our Discord said that she thinks they are rad, so that's what we like to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, next up, the Zaku Part 2 changes. Now, I'm going to quickly go over these. We did cover them a while ago, but we've forgotten them. So, quick little change. Zaku's The Lost ability description will now include descriptions of each of the three abilities within it, so that's pretty damned important. Zarta's Whisper, the Void status effect, will now redirect projectiles to the body part that it procced on. Cool.
Nice.
Grasp of Lok. Recasting will now steal weapons up to the max number of affected targets. So that is much better. So you used to only have three weapons or something, and then it would reset every time you recast. Now, if you lose a couple of weapons, you can recast and it'll just take more. And you can just keep filling up your weapons. That's a good thing.
Add it to the stockpile.
Yeah. So there's a HUD tracker so you can see how many weapons you've got. Stolen weapons won't target invulnerable enemies anymore. That's a good change. The weapons will visibly darken when they're near the end of their lifespan, so that helps you understand when they're about to go away. The Lost, the first ability, the Accuse, I don't know if it's the first ability, actually, it's just one of them. They're looking to make it recastable, but as it works at the moment, you can't recast it until the duration expires or all of the enemies are killed. So they will be doing it in the same way of Grasp of Lok. So you can recast it up to the maximum number of targets. If you've got 5 active and you recast it, you'll get to top it up to 10 again, for example. That's just an example. And, of course, they'll have a HUD tracker for that as well. Gaze, they're increasing the radius from 8 to 12 meters, which is a good thing because 8 meters is just too short for an ability, in my opinion. The Lost Deny, the beam width and the base range is increasing to 40 meters, so that's much, much better. And it can now be cast while moving. That's really important. Locking things in place while you're casting an ability is never good.
No, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, so I haven't used Zaku much. I don't know how good those changes are going to be. What are your thoughts, Lucas?
I think for the most part, those abilities are going to be pretty damn good, especially the weapon stealing.
The weapon one.
Yes, yeah. Grasp of Lok. That is one of my favorite abilities on Zaku, and yeah, I'm looking forward to having that work in a much more fluent manner.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, I don't necessarily have anything to disagree with because I don't have enough Zaku playtime, so.
Okay. Right, Steel Path stuff. Acolytes have entered the Steel Path.
They have.
Yeah, that's.
And we've heard good things.
That's pretty damn awesome. I will be talking more about the Acolytes in the advanced topic, so look forward to that. The Acolytes are there. They can actually appear in any and every mission, including. Open worlds, if you have your open world set to the Steel Path, then, yep, Acolytes can invade those. Have fun.
Yeah. Yep. So, this actually is there's a couple of things that have changed in the Steel Path that I didn't write down in the notes that I probably should have. So, yes, the Acolytes are going to come, and they're going to come more often, which is cool. But, because they will drop Steel Essence, and you'll be getting Steel Essence pretty much more regularly from the daily alerts that have been added as well. There's no more RNG with Steel Essence, so that's a really good thing. So you'll know how much you're going to get pretty much all the time. So, good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 2 Steel Essence for each Acolyte. But if the Acolytes down you, they will run away and you will not receive any Steel Essence.
Yeah, so make sure you kill them.
Yes.
Kill them good.
Kill them good.
All right, but they don't drop their mods anymore, which is a little bit sad.
But still, yeah, but their mods have been placed in other locations now.
Yeah, but it was a fun mechanic. But it's gone. Don't worry about it, Greg. It's gone.
Ah, but I will also kind of throw this in. Because they've kind of gotten rid of those mods from the Acolytes, and they've made the Acolytes drop Steel Essence, there's also new things to purchase in the Steel Essence shop, including Umbral Former Blueprints. Yes.
Shotgun Riven mods. Ooh. And more.
And more!
So, yeah.
More
stuff to buy from the Steel Path shop is a good thing.
Yes, especially those Umbral Former mods, Former Blueprints.
Bloody oath. Alright, and there's a new weekly item as well. Ah, okay, so it will... The Umbral Former won't be available all the time. It'll be a special weekly item. So save up your Steel Essence. Anyway, next up, there are 4 new augments. We have talked about these. I'll quickly go over them. Gauss got his Mark Rush, the Impact Shockwave, Leave Behind a Vacuum that sucks in enemies. Garuda's Seeking Talons are now called Blending Talons. You tap to perform a 9-meter AoE around Garuda. Interesting. Revenant's Enthrall Pact. Gain 25% primary weapon damage for each active Thrall, which is really, really good. Wisps, Breach Surge, or Critical Surge. Teleporting to a reservoir costs 50% energy and grants 10% crit chance to sniper rifles per meter traveled for 9 seconds, maximum of 350% critical chance. That's awesome. We did talk about them last week or the week before in a bit more detail, so go check that out.
Yes, 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 yes. Next up, Warframe ability changes. Now, this is huge.
Yes.
Absolutely huge. Yes, phenomenally huge. So we did kind of go over this a little bit, but now we've got some proper details on some of the specific ability changes and whatnot. So we'll start off with Ash. His Bladestorm applies full number of marks to target at once instead of needing to waggle mouse. Energy is consumed once per target marked instead of per mark. Yeah, that's pretty damn cool. That's a good change. Do you want to do the next one, Greg?
Didn't we go over all these?
We kind of did, but there are some different things that occurred, yeah.
Okay. Next up, Atlas's Bulwark performs an AoE slash when damaged by enemies. There's AoE damages based on the amount of health lost, so yay, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. Chroma, one of the biggest freaking changes in this. Spectral Scream, removed status chance stat, now always applies 100% status. Enemies hit by the breath will chain the damage to one other enemy outside of the breath. You can now swap between elements on the fly with Spectral Scream, so it's no longer dependent of your primary emissive color. Good thing about this is that the base range of the Spectral Scream is now 20 meters, and the chaining of the status is another 20 meters on top, so you can basically spread status within 40 meters of the screaming range. It's pretty damn hefty. They've increased the Spectral Scream damage from 200 to 400 damage per second at max rank, so it's pretty hefty. The new passive they decided to give the Chroma, the Dragon Frame, was suggested by the Design Council, and it's called Dragon's Flight, a passive that allows Chroma to perform an additional jump slash bullet jump while sprouting his dragon wings to give him an extra aerial dominance. So this does mean if you really want to, you can now double bullet jump.
That's pretty cool.
That's freaking awesome.
I want that. All right, quick question. It says there that Spectral Scream is no longer dependent on your primary emissive color. Doesn't that apply to all of his abilities?
It does. Okay, it does. It does, yes. Yeah. So basically now with the one being the way it is, having the ability to jump through the different elements, you can basically go fire breath, swap element to ice, elemental, what's his second one? Elemental energy ward. Shield thing. Elemental ward can, you know, do the ice thing while you're spitting fire, and then you can, you know, change it over to toxic or electricity and cast your effigy and basically be using 3 different elements at once.
Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure.
It's pretty ridiculous. Interesting. Yeah. Really cool. Not sure. I had a lot of fun with him. Yeah. Not sure how this applies to the helmet system with Elemental Ward. That requires further testing.
Indeed. Yeah, good point. Yes. All right. Next up, Cora. There is now a minimal line of sight check on Whipclaw's radial damage. Next.
I think that one was not talked about previously. I think that's kind of a new one.
Yeah. It wasn't. It's not a massive change.
Not a massive one, but it's still a change. It's, yeah. Necros. This is a good one that people are definitely going to be loving, especially Greg. Soul Punch instantly kills targets below 25% health and turns them into an extra clone of Shadowness or heals existing if at max. Necros's Soul Punch now has a new mechanic marked for harvest enemies that are hit by Soul Punch but don't die have a duration wherein they'll be eligible to become a shadow if killed while marked. Good. That is something that was not mentioned in the last one either.
You're right. So, some new stuff has been added. Yes. You have redeemed yourself, Lucas. Good work. Nidus, Lava, enemies killed while held have a chance of generating a mutation stack for Nidus. We talked about that one. Hasn't changed, but still is
very good. Very helpful. And, of course, Zephyr, airburst damage increased per target hit. Targets with more than 30% health become open to Parazon finishes.
Less than
30% health. Airburst now deals 35% additional damage per enemy hit, either with projectile or with the explosion damage. That's really damn awesome. Airburst also now has a 50% chance to deal a physical status effect for those hit by this slice of air. It will heavily skew towards slash, so that is something that was not also thrown in before. So, you think, oof, more
double damage. Redeemed.
That is awesome. I like that. And finally, Tornado, slightly better at holding enemies, and you can tap to create Stationary Tornado or hold to create Wandering Tornadoes. So we knew that one. But yeah, it's good to see that there are some additional changes and that we weren't aware of before.
Absolutely.
Damn, some of these are frickin' phenomenal.
Frickin' phenomenal.
Frickin' phenomenal.
Indeed. Alrighty, next up, there's been an upgrade to your orbiter. It's not a massive change, but it's a little bit of a facelift. So yeah, once you get it, you'll see that your orbiter is slightly different and has animations.
Ever so slightly. Slightly change.
So keep in mind that it might mean your decorations have moved, so you might need to play around with them a little bit, but you won't lose anything.
Gara Deluxe. It happened. Gara Deluxe is here.
The base colors are still shit.
The base colors awesome. Trash. And it came with a shiny slab of glass sword skin.
The glass sword is really nice looking.
I do like that. It is nice. It's a nice sword. Slab of glass.
Indeed. Next up, this is unexpected. There's new stuff for the dojo, including an infested chamber. So you don't have to design it to look infested. You just put it in and it already looks infested, as well as a bunch of infested dojo decorations and, what do you call them? Not Necrolisk. Intrati dojo decorations as well. So go get some stuff. Decorate your dojos.
Yeah. And lots of other stuff, and it's too much to mention because it's just so damn much fixes and you know, freaking things that improve quality of life, and there's just so much optimization. Stuff,
amp changes, freaking shit tons. We couldn't go over everything.
It's huge. It is. Freaking huge.
Exactly. We're already, almost an hour into the episode, so we couldn't have gone into everything.
Damn.
But if you do want to read over it all, the show notes will be in, will include a link to the patch notes if you need it. So, get on out there, read it all. The game feels a little bit different. It's fun.
It's good.
Just jump in there and play it.
Do it. Get do the thing.
New infested weapons.
And your kit guns and all the goodies.
Exactly. And on that note, let's crack on into the beginner topic, which is kit guns for dummies. It's really easy. We've talked about kit guns before, but I'm going to go over it again because there's some new ones to get. Kit guns, what are they? They are modular weapons that you can build. You get them mainly from Rudzud in Fortuna, but now you can get some parts from Father in The Necrolesque, bloody hell, on Deimos. So basically, all of the parts that you need require you to have standing with that location. So if you're at Rudzud, you need to have Fortuna standing. If you're trying to get Father's stuff, you need to have Entrati standing. So make sure you've got enough standing to buy the stuff that you need. But also, while you're hovering over those parts, make sure that you have the resources required to build them, because that's pretty important as well. Because once you buy them, you then need to take them to your foundry and build them, requiring a whole bunch of different resources, some of which are a pain in the ass to get, and generally will require you to make gems and things, refined gems, in your foundry using parts that you can get from the mining people on Fortuna, and of course Lloyd in Deimos. So you got to make sure you've got those. Now, there's three parts to any kit gun. There's the grip, the chamber, and the loader. The loader will basically depend on how fast it's going to reload, how many bullets it's going to have, and it has an effect on crit chance and status chance. The grip is basically mainly going to decide what type of weapon it is. And now there's also going to decide between primary and secondary, so that's another thing to keep in mind. And the chamber is going to decide what kind of projectiles it fires. So it could be a single projectile, kind of like a rifle or something like that. It could be a beam weapon. It could be a shotgun, and so on and so forth. So you basically need to read through them all. There's quite a lot of different pieces now that are available. So you've got to just read through it, see what kind of weapon you think you want to build, and then build it. The good thing about Rudzud is that you can pretend and make a gun, so you can choose each of the individual pieces, so you can figure out exactly what kind of weapon you want to build with the stats that you're aiming for. And you can press a little button that'll show you what it'll look like after it's gilded as well. And then you can decide exactly which pieces you need, and then you can work towards that. So that's really cool as well. Keep in mind, though, that the first time you use a weapon, all the way up to rank 30, you will not be earning any mastery for it. You only earn mastery for the chamber. So keep that in mind as well. Once you have gotten to rank 30, then you can guild it. You've got to go back to Rudzud, select guild, I think it's under other services, and then he will allow you to guild the weapon for standing, and then you can start ranking it towards rank 30. However, you need to be the third level, I think it's associate, with Fortuna in order to be able to guild. Another very important thing to keep in mind. It's not that hard to grind Fortuna, so if you aren't rank 3, it'll only take you a few days to do that. But if you are a relatively new player and you want to build a kit gun, it is important to keep that in mind. But it is also important to keep in mind that some of the pieces are probably going to, some of the gem refinement pieces are also going to be locked behind a certain partnership level within Fortuna as well. So you might need to go talk to Smokefinger, or if you're building an infested kit gun, you might need to go talk to Lloyd. There's a few things you need to do. If you've got platinum, you can always see if you can buy those specific items under today's specials. It's a little bit expensive, not recommended, but I do it because I like to rush things and I'm impatient. That's a real basic overview. They're a lot of fun. There's a lot of different weapons. You can only get mastery for each chamber once, but of course you can make different types of weapons as many times as you like. So hopefully that is a good introduction to kit guns. If you have any questions, hit us up in Facebook, Discord, wherever. Lucas, is there anything I missed that's important, you think?
Nine.
Advanced topic.
Advanced topic. Okay, so with the new Deimos Arcana update, we saw the reshaping of the Steel Path and the reintroduction of the Stalker's Acolytes. So I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to remind people of the terror that is these enemies that they bring to the table. So let's jump on in and better prepare players for these ancient agents of nightmare. Blah, blah, blah. Can't even word. Angst is a melee-focused acolyte that shares its appearance with Valkyr, but that's not all the two share. Angst's favourite weapon is the Exalted Claws of Hysteria, and with such can stagger the Tenno on hit, so distance will be your best friend. However, distance might not always be possible, as Angst also has the teleport ability from Ash, which will give her the ability to get close and personal. If that wasn't enough, getting out of her field of sight also has its disadvantages, as Angst is also equipped with the Sonic Scream of Forward, which can melt the health of Tenno all over the map. So beware, and yeah, be prepared. Malice. The next we have the Acolyte sharing the Visage of Frost. This Acolyte is fully equipped to the teeth with Destruction and Pain, sporting his two favourite weapons, the Heat Dagger for close quarters combat, and the Opticore because, well, it's the Opticore. Malice also has access to the Magnetize ability, making Tenno soak bullets from their allies and enforcing a near-impossible-to-dodge Opticore blast. Now, if you thought that was a blast, Malice has one more trick up his sleeve, in the form of the Nemesis drones he can summon, which are all equipped for kamikaze attacks. So big explosions. Good fun all around. The third Acolyte is Mania, and Mania shares its visage with Loki, another Acolyte that is melee-focused and enjoys the usage of the Lacera Blade and Whip. When Mania enters the fray, beware of its grappling hook melee attack, but also beware of its ability to switch teleport, which would stun the Tenno briefly. Melee would most likely be the best bet against Mania, as he is also able to harness the strong winds of Zephyr's turbulence, shielding himself from gunfire. Misery, an Acolyte that lives up to its name, appears as a Necros lookalike wielding the Aether Reaper and can summon Void Shades with Shadows of the Dead. Upon his HP dropping by 33%, he will summon the second wave of these Shadows of Dead waved creatures, these things of darkness, whatever, yes. The third wave comes in when his HP drops to 66%, and his final group will be made up of Angst and Violence Spectres. Additionally, Misery can manipulate the Tenno's soul with a ferocious soul punch. Wielding the Akvasto pistols and aquatic abilities of Hydroid, Torment enters the fray, taking the form of Mesa, calling forth a Tempest Barrage for field control and sweeping the Tenno down with Tidal Surge. Torment prefers to keep her distance, but has the means for close quarter dismissal. Keeping close to her is not always easy. And finally, the final Acolyte that appears as Limbo comes uniquely equipped with a Destreza in one hand and a Venka upon the other, which seems as a perfect fit for the Acolyte named Violence. A master of the blade, much like Excalibur, Violence can use Slash Dash to tear at the Tenno, and if you thought keeping your distance was wise, then you will be met with an ice wave. Violence enjoys the pain and suffering of his prey, and as such is also equipped with Banshee's Silence, which acts the same way as its PvP version, preventing Tenno from casting abilities within 20 meters of its caster. Now you know your enemies, heed this warning. Prepare for the pain that is to come.
Indeed, especially considering now you can only encounter them in the Steel Path.
Yeah, so they're going to be high-level encounters.
Yeah. That's good. Love it.
Excellent.
Yeah, what Lucas said. All right, so where does that put us now in the episode?
Community call out.
Just beautiful.
Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. You've got some call outs. Go, do it.
Yeah, we have a cookie. We have a cookie that Dutchie decided we wanted to give a cookie out to Swanky Pants and Tribe Guy for being so damn helpful recently with all the clan work. You guys have a cookie, enjoy it, eat it up. It's a good cookie.
Exactly. One cookie each as well, not just half a cookie to share between.
Yeah, no, you get cookie each. Whoa.
You deserve it.
Deserved.
And to all the people in the clans, of course, if there is anyone who's done anything extra special, reach out to us and let us know so we can give them a cookie so they can be well fed.
Yeah, well fed. Give the cookie.
If you play in our Switch clan, the Switch clan is a little bit headless at the moment. I don't believe we've got a leader. We do have leaders for the clan, but of course everybody needs a little time off from time to time. So if you want to take up the throne for a little while, hit me up. Because, yeah, every clan does need people in charge so that everyone is enjoying themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Do the thing.
Cool.
Win the prize.
All right. Next up. King Louis' blessing.
Okay, so this one was actually dropped on my doorstep this morning, and it's an excellent one. We do have one currently in backlog, and I was going to do that one, but at the same time, that one was another one from Wooshy, and we did a Wooshy one last week, so put a little bit of a break between the Wooshy ones. thank you so much, Wooshy, for always throwing in us good ideas. I love your ideas, thank you, by the way. But this one, this week, will go to Leroy of Hick. And this one is putting Equinox's Rage upon Nyx, and this replaces her Mind Control. Using the Augment for Rage allows it to spread around too, for extra goodness right there, and this allows the enemies who are affected by Nyx's Chaos to do more damage to each other, allowing it to not just CC, but also help with damage dealing too. Throwing some psychic bolts around helps with the dying easier as well, so this is really damn awesome. And Leroy of Hick has decided to name this Nyx build Goddess of Chaos Unleashed.
That's a pretty cool build.
Very fitting name. Very cool build. I freaking love it. Well done, Leroy of Hick.
Yeah, nice one. I like your ideas.
It's good ideas.
All right, reviews update. We got one new review in iTunes, the US, this week, bringing our total to 136. So, of course, if you'd like to review the show, iTunes is the place to do it if you're an Apple user. Otherwise, Podcast Republic, Podchaser, CastBox is a good place for those that are not Apple users. Or just send us an email. Either way. Anyway, we got one this week.
We did.
Read it out, Lucas. Whoa. I dare ya.
iTunes, US. Fetus Spike, my apocalypse jam. As late-stage capitalism progresses even more rapidly towards full dystopian techno future, I find myself looking forward to a time when I can simply upload my consciousness into a video game after a 20-hour workday in the Chicken Nugget Warehouse District of Neo Shanghai, New York. Great opening.
What an intro.
Until then, I guess I'll just listen to these fine gents discuss the world of Warframe. Half jokes aside, this podcast is a wonderful blend of analysis, lore, gameplay updates, and general discussion, with hosts who span the gamut of casual for fun player all the way to number crunching min maxes. There's surely something for any tenor here. One final thought. Clem. Grakatas.
Very good, Fetus Spike. That's an excellent review. I'm looking forward to moving to Neo Shanghai because chicken nuggets are amazing. Now, I reckon if you're putting 20 hours into it, you're going to do a good job.
I think that might be my new favorite review just because of the opening.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. Alrighty, thank you. And now we have another big week of...
Dr. Cephalone.
Dr. Cephalone.
Yeah.
We have two this week again. They're both big and interesting questions. We'll try not to go too long into the answering of them, but I felt that we had to answer them both. We couldn't just leave one till another week because they're both good.
Yep.
The first one comes from Big Spoon, who asked a question last week or the week before, but it's another good question. So here we go. This one's mind-blowingly good question that I haven't had enough time to put thought into, but hey, here we go. Dear Dr. Cephalon, we all know how meaningful the Natar, Second Dream, and War Within quests are to the true Warframe experience, and although withholding these quests for 70-plus hours strengthens their impact, I do lament that there aren't similarly impactful quest lines earlier to entice new players. If the Cephalon Squared host got to design one or two quest lines for the early planets with the goal of achieving similar impact to the Second Dream arc, what might those look like? Or is similar impact unachievable without the debut of a core game system like the Operator Form? Very good question. And before I let loose the Lucas... who probably has written 10 pages on his ideas, I will say that my thoughts are that the similar impact is simply unachievable because what can you introduce early in the game that's not going to spoil and is still going to be better than and have the same impact as the operator form. Possibly there is something, possibly, but I really think it's going to be hard without spoiling anything. Lucas, what ideas have you got?
Okay, well, I have one idea, right? Just one, but it's a doozy of an idea. And it's not adding in any mission or any quest line. It's reworking an existing quest line. More specifically, it's reworking the very first quest line.
Yes. Okay, good.
Yes. Good thinking. Uh-huh. So, there was actually a moment in the opening quest line that thoroughly disappointed me. You know, it gave me hope for a brief moment, but in the long run, it thoroughly disappointed me. And that is the whole point where you reach the point upon the Grineer vessel, where you're informed you have a choice to either save a colony of innocent bystanders, or let them perish to the Grineer's destruction of them. And this was good in two senses, right? It gave you the feeling that your choices will matter in this game, when in reality it didn't. There was no real benefit to doing this. There's no loss of anything. Yeah, there was no real heavy impact. Now, if they reworked this and made it that there was like an actual proper impact of it, you know, like maybe throw in a cutscene where you see your Tenno jumping into the void of space and rocketing themselves towards the vessel that carries these innocent bystanders, you know, and trying to get these bystanders to safety or something like that, you know, some kind of actual interaction with these innocent people. Or, if you decide not to help them, watching their destruction. To really put it down on, like, in front of you. This is your fault. You just let these people die. I think that would actually give you that impact early on. Very similar. You know, the whole, are you a hero or do you just not care?
Yeah, that'd be a good change. I think if they did that, they'd need to add more things like that into the game, though.
Oh, definitely.
As well.
Definitely.
But yeah, that'd be a really good addition / change.
Yeah.
One thought that did come into my head while you were saying that, though.
Yeah.
Backgrounds into the other factions would be interesting. So,
yes.
Grineer, Earth is Grineer, Venus is Corpus. As you start to get to Mars, you start getting introduced to the Infested. And it'd be really nice if there were little quest lines, maybe not as impactful as the Second Dream or anything like that, but if there were little quest lines that explained who the Grineer is, how their structure works, where they came from, I think it would have an impact on the overall game world, which would make you understand the Corpus better, why you're fighting them, why you don't necessarily have to fight them with the Corpus and the Grineer. Neither of them are really evil in their own rights. I mean, it depends on which way you look at them. They do evil things. The Corpus does evil things for money. The Grineer do evil things for power, I guess. But to actually understand who they are and why they're the way they are would be really good early on in the game and help really sort of give a bit of a better foundation to the early game before the story really starts to ramp up.
Yeah, so more world building.
Yeah. Yep, there's not much world building.
I think that'd be really good. The world building begins with Natar, realistically. Like, that's when you really start learning about what the hell's going on around you. Everything prior to that is kind of missing.
Yeah, I mean, why is when you're doing I forgot the name of the quest, but when you're helping out Maru and she's getting hunted, most players won't understand what they're doing, why they're helping her, why she's being hunted by the Grineer, why she wants to sell the items that she's stolen to the Corpus. You know, I don't. There's just not enough background to it, so people don't understand that that the Maru storyline is actually the start of the main storyline.
Yeah,
but it doesn't seem like it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there needs to be some more world building. Great question, Big Spoon. Hard one to answer. Hard to get that same impact, but I think it really comes down to world building, like Wicker said.
Definitely, definitely, definitely comes down to world building, and I really hope that one day we do get like the whole, you know, your choices really matter kind of thing.
Exactly, me too.
Because that will have a massive impact, and if they throw it in early enough, like I said with that first quest line, then that will really give you a taste of what to expect from this game, and really like, I think that alone would really drag people into the game and be like, holy shit, this is, wow, this is much bigger than just a corridor shooter slasher.
There was just no impact like, to that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was disappointing. All right, next up, we have a Dr. Cephalon from Perseus. This is a different one that got a lot of response in the Discord, and I think it was responded to adequately, but I just thought we'd have our say on it as well. So here we go. Dear Dr. Cephalon, as a relatively intermediate player, one of the most confusing and difficult things to learn for me are the Eidolons. Not only is it dark out, but all the lights and the weird shapes and the size of the Eidolons make them a nightmare for me. I've tried to do them, but just find myself completely lost in the confusion. My question is, what do you think about being able to spawn Eidolons in the Simulacrum? With full light and the ability to pause its AI, I think this would allow new players to get a grip on how the Eidolons work and where their joints are. What are your thoughts? Okay, well, without being too direct, I think this is not necessarily a good idea. And it's not because, I mean, I understand the intent behind why you're suggesting that, because it is hard to understand the Eidolons. But I think that's the point of the Eidolons. It has always been intended as a boss fight that is there for the players to figure out on their way. And now that players have figured them out, to help other new players such as yourself learn how to do them. The hard part is, of course, finding those players out there that are willing to help you and teach you. We have not done how-to guide for the Eidolons as yet. Or did we, Lucas?
I think we maybe, like, touched up on it a couple of times.
We haven't done it properly. Maybe one day we will. Maybe one day we should. Just to answer those questions. But I think being able to spawn them in the Simulacrum does a few things. It allows people to really min-max and just destroy the whole game mode for a lot of, for some players. But it also takes away some of the fun of having to learn. It is frustrating. I get it that it's frustrating for you. But really what I think DE should do, personally, is add some information about them from the wiki into the game so that when you go in at nighttime for the first time, maybe it doesn't immediately put you into the world, you know, as an active player. First, it should show you on the screen, this is an Eidolon. Whoa. It's immune to all these different types of damage. This is what the water looks like. It's got this weird blue stuff coming out of it. Why is that? Don't go in there or you'll hurt yourself. Or something like that. Just a couple of little things to give you a hint as to what to look for and what to look at. You know, what the lures are. They mention it a couple of times in the game, but, you know, you don't know what you're using those for. Maybe there should be a little bit more information to give you a little bit better hints. But really, the first Eidolon, Terry, is quite easy. Once you learn how to do it. Until you learn how to do it, he's really bloody hard. But once you learn how to do it, you can solo him in about 5 or 10 minutes once you've got the right equipment. Having the right equipment really comes down to meta. Having the meta amp and having the meta weapons. Do you need to do that? No. If you've got some other friends that you can play with, they'll help you. You're in our Discord. You've got plenty of people that you have access to that you can ask questions to, or you can ask for help to carry you through some Eidolons. I'm sure there would be people that would be willing to do so. When it is nighttime. You could even just put in there, I'm a new player looking for someone to teach me to do the Eidolons in the region chat or the Cetus chat, and someone may well be willing to help you. If you go in there as a solo player, you might have some other experienced players there who are just going to ignore you and you're not going to learn anything. It is a tough one, but if you choose the bounty just for the Terrorlist, then you're only going to go in there with other people that just want to do the Terrorlist. So you're more likely to find someone that's willing to help or willing to help you willing to learn with you. What do you think, Rikus?
Well, straight off the bat, the Eidolons are not new player.
No, they're definitely not.
They are anything but new player. Considering the fact that you need to have reached a specific point in the game to even be able to have any real impact against the Eidolons. Having something that is new player friendly for something that is not for new players.
But I don't think he's saying no. He wants it to be new player friendly, because he or she, I don't know you personally, Perseus, although you've been in our Discord for a while, has said that they're an intermediate player.
Yes, but I'm looking at the part where this would allow new players to get a grip on how Eidolons work. Yeah, it's not new player, so adding something to help new players for the Eidolon just doesn't work, because there's, you know, new players can't do Eidolons. I do agree that there should be some more descriptive, maybe descriptive voice lines to really give you a proper spectrum of what's going on and what to do. Because, you know, there are voice lines already for a lot of the things with the Eidolons, but nothing that really gives you, like, proper details. So, yeah, you know, they could easily throw in a couple of voice lines with the actors that they've got already to just add to that, which would definitely improve the situation for the people that are learning the Eidolons. But as Greg said originally, it was originally intended for something for players to learn themselves. Like, even DE didn't want to say anything about how to do it. Like, you know, they specifically, when they showed off the Eidolon in dev streams or TennoCon, it was, we're not telling you anything about the Eidolons. You have to discover it yourself.
I do agree, though, with what you said, Lucas. They need to put some voice commands or voice assistance in there. If you go in before you've done the War Within, it should tell you you're not equipped for this battle. Leave, or you're going to get killed.
Yeah,
should just say something like that. If you are, it should give you little hints. Perhaps using this will help bring down its shield. Perhaps doing this will cause damage. You know, it probably needs to have those little voice prompts. That will help you out, Perseus. But I think putting them in the simulacrum will really break the immersion of what they're meant to be.
Yeah.
They do need to
add good question
that helps people. But there are plenty of good videos out there teaching you how to do it. Not much else we can say on that, but yeah, reserve the bosses for their intended purpose is my position on that one. Alrighty, that brings us to the end of episode 123. As expected, it was a hefty one. Hefty.
Very hefty. Very, very hefty.
Indeed. If you'd like to get in contact with us, head on over to cephalonsquared.com. And you can do so. There are links to our Discord and Facebook and all those wonderful things. You can send us an email at cephalonsquared@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us, give us a pat on the back or buy us a virtual beer/coffee, head on over to www.cephalonsquared.com/support to find out exactly how to do that. And those people that are supporting us already are at honorary Cephalon level and above are our patrons, of course, and we should say thank you to them, as we do every week.
Thank you, Jellybug1799.
Thank you, Tula.
Thank you, Lord Freezon.
Thanks, Hellbop Comet.
Thank you, CoyotePX.
Thank you, Soundwave.
Thank you, Jackson31.
Thank you, Kintail.
Thank you, Shazim.
Thanks, Implosive_MKV.
Thank you, Dylan Braun.
Thank you, Solarian.
Thank you, Ponytail.
Thank you to the swankiest of pants.
And thank you, Le Dutch Master.
As always, we can't thank you enough, but for everyone out there that listens week on week, is part of our community and contributes, we can't thank you enough either for simply being there. We wouldn't be where we are today as recognized as Warframe creators without having listeners out there in the world. So thank you so much to all of you. My name is Greg Newbig and I am Mad Capsules. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri and I'm Silverlight all over the interwebs. S-I-L-V-R-L-G-H-T. Our community rocks. It does. Love you guys.
Notice how keep my rocking. Brain stopped in the middle of doing the usual, I'm Mad Capsules all over the place, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Just I noticed stopped. That. I noticed that. Up. Just stopped.
And thank you to Yarn at Disco _ Box for the intro and outro. That's on Twitter. I guess we'll be back next week with more Cephalon Squared. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.